listening to Dojo and Dynamite. Dynamo Japan and Ring is out of sight. All Elite TNT make it feel right. New Japan All Elite, time to unite. One's named Rich, the other Ashley. The number one pod for the whole family. Time to fill your wrestling appetite. Now it's time to start Dojo and Dynamite.
Yeah, it's time for Dojo and Dynamite. Yeah.
Hey guys, this is Ashley and Rich here with episode 98 of Dojo and Dynamite. It is Sunday, December 5th, and as promised, we are back.
Yeah, we watched AAA, Triple Mania Regia. It wasn't, there's no L in it. I keep thinking it's like Regla, but I don't, that's not correct. So we watched AAA last night. We watched GCW last night, the second part of it. We had Murdoch versus Jimmy Lloyd.
Jimmy fucking Lloyd.
We did not watch Rampage as per our little challenge, I guess. Did we miss anything at all? I mean, apparently not, because nobody's talking about it. I haven't seen anything discussed. One of those nights.
And we had an eventful Wednesday, I guess you could say.
We did. We also had Natural Wine that kind of fucked us up a little bit. So recollection of the GCW might be a little less.
I did not make it all the way through the GCW show. Natural Wine and Gingerbread House Crafting don't pair too well together.
Well, that got put together. It went together fine. I mean, we just almost had to kill each other trying to put it together.
Well, it was frustrating, and then
if you do something with a partner, a friend, a family member, and you almost don't kill each other, did you even work on something at all?
I'm getting another gingerbread house.
Yes.
Making a village.
Yes. So we're back, obviously, now. My semester's going to calm down a little bit, back on track. The AEW show on Wednesday, I made a tweet about it. Obviously, we had been discussing last week on the podcast about how maybe the show needed to flow in a different direction, needed to add some more things, add more pieces, you know, whatever. And I kind of felt the show was exactly the same as it was before. I mean, again, you had Bryan Danielson opening up against Allen Angels for absolutely nothing.
Yeah, and you know, the match itself, it was entertaining, and I had said to
every you... Every match is.
But I had said to you, like, if this was an indie show that we were going to, like, we're just sitting back, relaxing, enjoying the action, like, no complaints, nothing wrong with it. Like, when this is what you're starting off your Wednesday night television show, there's no stakes, I'm not engaged. Like,
no, and I guess it kind of feels now more like a chore, and that's so unfortunate, because that's not how I want to feel. I don't feel that way. I mean, you know, a friend of mine had said, hey, do you want to watch AAA this Saturday? I said, yeah, sure, why not? Give it a chance. Give it a shot. We've watched Triple Mania before. So I said, yeah, FTR is fighting Lucha Brothers in a ladder match, which is the big headline. So I'm like, sure, Taya Valkyrie returns. She challenged Diana Perazzo, said she's coming for her. Anyway, yeah, I was down for it. You tell me I want to watch on Wednesday. It's like, I don't get excited to watch the show anymore. It feels more like a chore. Like Ashley said, hey, you go to an indie show if you put this match on because, yeah, I'm paying $10 to sit in a gymnasium doing nothing on a certain night. I've chosen or elected to go. You look forward to it. You get to see Bryan Danielson in person. What's the big deal?
I think it's a context thing. Like, when I'm watching professional wrestling on television, like with AEW, I'm looking for the action. I'm also looking for the story, the drama. And I feel like with a lot of these matches, there's no story.
You know, I think that the Bucks, Adam Cole, Jericho, Cody, I think these guys do that. And I think you kind of take a look at, and again, like I said, having a great wrestling match, Lee Moriarty and CM Punk had a great match. They had a great match later on. And it turned into a big kind of a promo where I really thought that MJF struggled to kind of capture maybe the next step of what this feud was going to be. I think CM Punk did a very nice job in the next step of this. But Danielson versus Allen Angels just is a match that I just don't care for. And it was similar. JRJ, our guy, I mean, I think the Ass Boys are funny. Ever since Danhausen kind of said, hey, these guys are the Ass Boys, that was kind of like the new thing. The fact that Colton lost, I mean, this guy could have been Goldberg.
I was with JRJ for a moment, but then when he comes out and it's like he's 31-0 or whatever, I'm like, well, shit. Like,
this guy better not lose.
Something to buy into here.
He better not lose.
But, you know, that was just a funny little thing to pay attention to. But, like, that match itself, I'm really, really not engaged with. They're fighting for their streak? Okay. I don't know.
I think that Sting looks great every time he wrestles. I like Sting and Darby as a tag team. I've said this before. I like their matches. Is the feud with the Ass Boys something that I care for? No, but now he's not undefeated. See, if he had kept his undefeated streak alive, they had somehow defeated Darby and Sting, which of course would be like... Tony would have like a conniption backstage if this happened, because, I mean, of course, stars can't lose. So if these guys lost a match to keep the streak alive, would you not have to tune in again to see it happen again? Because you know they're going to have to challenge again.
No, that would be different. That would be adding to the story. But why did this match happen?
This is kind of a side note. I don't know. I was scrolling through videos on Instagram because this is what I do. I can't control myself. I don't want to download TikTok. I'll never download TikTok. That's not okay. But on Instagram, you know, you go kind of through the reels, you go through the videos, you can see all these videos. I guess some of them are TikTok videos, whatever, regardless. There was a video with Scott Steiner coming to the WWE, and Eric Bischoff was the general manager. He was kind of pitched to the free agent that he had to come here, and there's big, eccentric, you know, extravagant performance by Eric Bischoff. The limousine's there. He opens the limousine, and out comes Stephanie McMahon. She has a short skirt on because she's trying to sex appeal Scott Steiner into signing with the SmackDown brand instead. This segment was like 3 minutes long. Scott Steiner says some cheap, cheesy line. They get into the limo. Eric Bischoff's face is like, I cannot believe that I just lost Scott Steiner to Stephanie McMahon in SmackDown. And it's something that, as irrelevant as it may, it captivated me. And it held my attention for the 3-minute video because I was kind of enjoying the nonsense that I saw. And I just don't feel like I'm getting that level of enjoyment the way that I was when AEW first started.
No, I agree.
Remember when they were backstage and they broke Dustin's hand? The Inner Circle, they broke Dustin's arm, his wrist. And Jericho, he got in trouble for it, right? He lit up that cigar and they got angry with him. But remember when all that backstage stuff was happening? Remember when Cody chased him through the crowd and he punched the window? He wrapped a tie around his hand, he punched the window, and they were fighting all throughout the vendor area. And at one point, Jericho stuck the ticket to his head. That was fun. It was wild nonsense fun. I just feel like every show, and I like we said this last week, they don't have a script.
No, and it does feel very natural, and that's one thing I commend them on, because...
Sure, it's not sterile.
No, it's not sterile.
But it's the same thing every week, as we talk about. It's a star against somebody who nobody knows that they want to introduce to an audience, but how are you introducing somebody? And it's the same thing, again, let's take a look at Lee Johnson. Let's evaluate Lee Johnson. Lee Johnson was getting a ton of television time for a long time, right? Lee Johnson was getting television exposure over a long period of time, especially with COVID, had a match against Miro. Remember this? TNT title match. And we thought they finally did a nice job of integrating an individual and developing them from the bottom, very, very young guy, very inexperienced, into somebody that's now going to be on television, win or lose, he's going to be a consistent player, and he's not. He's not. And that's the... And I hope that they don't do this to Lee Moriarty. I hope they don't put him in that same boat. I hope they don't develop Lee Moriarty to a point where, hey, we're expecting maybe to see him a little bit more. Maybe we're expecting him to get bigger wins on television, and then nothing happens. Allen Angels, the same thing. It's just jobbers. And nobody is a jobber, and that's the wrong word, but this, the way that they are being utilized is a jobber. Somebody that is irrelevant, that you don't care about, that's going to put over a star for the purpose of the story. Allen Angels, they say, oh, he looked good here, but for what purpose?
Yeah.
What's the purpose for Allen Angels to look good?
And that's my point. It's a context or a setting thing. Like, I don't want to see that on my Wednesday night wrestling television. Where's
no,
the story?
And they did an excellent job in the beginning with Darby Allin, right?
Yeah.
Did an excellent job because they gave him something after. He never could beat these guys. Maybe they were smaller feuds, but they gave him something after. He'd face a star and he would lose.
And there is a time and place where you need to have these enhancement type matches. You know, sometimes stories hit a lull or you need to pad the win streak. Like, I get it, okay? But I don't. That's not what's happening here. It's like, it, like you said, that's the formula.
I just can't get myself to support it. I just think that right now, their matches I don't care to watch, regardless of the quality, because you know the quality is going to be high. I just don't care to watch it, and I just don't care. I don't care to watch Lee Moriarty wrestling right now on main stages. I like him because there's nothing coming after it, just like you said. There's no story.
But like if we were at a GCW or a Ring of Honor or even the local VFW in Nutley, like we would have a great time.
And my friends and I have analyzed this because when I was working, when we all were working for our own promotion, you can only work with what you have, right? So when you have these types of matches, just like GCW, it's the perfect example. GCW only has who they have, right? They have to make do with what they have. So you as an audience has patience for that. When AEW was starting, correct? They only had what they had. So we had a ton of patience for that. We were excited to see what AEW could put on tape, what they can put on television, because they only had what they had, correct?
Yeah.
And that's what an indie show has, Ring of Honor has, what GCW has. They only have what they have, so we kind of accept it and say, hey, they did their best today, didn't they? Is AEW giving their best effort every single week? No, absolutely not. And I know they don't want to take criticisms for it, but it's irrelevant. You had Wardlow versus AC something. Forget that. I love Wardlow, big money. But that's the
big
jobber
money
match. You got Danielson versus Allen Angels. Don't care. You have CM Punk versus Lee Moriarty. Don't care. Both guys exceptionally talented. Lee Moriarty exceptionally talented. Allen Angels exceptionally talented. Don't care. Allen Angels is number 5 of the Dark Order. Don't care. It's like Mikey Mondo from the Spirit Squad. Don't care. Talented guy. Don't give a shit. Lee Moriarty, I do give a shit. What's coming after this? Nothing. Goes, becomes an enhancement for CM Punk to tell a story with Maxwell Jacob Friedman. Nothing. I like that Sean Spears came with Wardlow, like the Pinnacle's kind of still a thing.
I like which Buck wore it best.
Which Buck wore it
Dino
best? I mean, that
Nick.
Ridiculous Dino Nick.
Yeah.
Adam Cole wears the same outfit every week. Adam, there's a thing going on here. It's called which Buck wore it best. See, the Good Brothers understood. The Big LG understood there was a competition.
But there, is there really?
Yeah, there's,
no.
Of course there is. Shut
there
the fuck
is
up.
No competition.
There is a competition amongst the elite for the trophy of which Buck wore best because the Bucks innovated the rule. So you name a trophy after somebody or an individual or a group in this per se that becomes the standard bearer of that. The Young Bucks were dressing exceptionally well on television. They created an award or a trophy weekly called the Which Buck Wore It Best.
Nick.
Now, the Bucks can still win the same award. They're allowed to do that. Nick Jackson this week does win the Which Buck Wore It Best. But now the Good Brothers and Doc Gallows, the Big LG, Daddy Dangley, he delivered. Every week he knew he listened to the podcast. I know he did, because why else would he wear the extravagance that he does? I haven't seen him. He obviously, the Impact AEW thing's kind of like washed over. But the Big LG, memorable. Adam Cole, you wear the same goddamn outfit every week. Come on, man. There's a trophy. There's a competition here. Which Buck wore it best, goddammit?
Should we do like a 2021 Dojo and Dynamite and Death Matches, like year-end awards? Best-dressed Buck? Which Buck wore it best? Maybe.
I think we can go back and maybe think about all the outfits. Which outfit was number one? There was a point where I believe like an earring was connected to a nose ring.
Damn right.
Nick Jackson.
Damn right.
It's pretty impressive.
A fashion icon.
Adam Cole's got to step this game up. And Bobby Fish is kind of getting involved. Bobby Fish, you can win this award too. There's no reason why you can't. You affiliate yourself with the Elite. You affiliate yourself with this organization, this group. You're qualified for which Buck wore it best. Don Callis has worn it best. You associate yourself.
He's come close a couple times.
Your opinion is irrelevant. Don Callis has worn it best on many occasions. I'm just saying you affiliate yourself with the Elite and you have an opportunity to win this award. So Bobby Fish, maybe jump. Let's jump Adam Cole a little bit. Kyle O'Reilly's contract expiring. Could we see this happening? Probably. Johnny Gargano's contract expiring. Can we see it happen? I hope not.
Why? I want some Johnny.
Everybody kind of has somebody that they don't mesh with. Johnny Gargano and I don't mesh. Maybe if we become friends, if I meet him. I don't know. Just a guy, when you watch people wrestle, sometimes you just look at them and you say, look, that guy's not for me. That's Johnny Gargano. Everything kind of stands for, not for me.
You went on a tirade about this same thing last week, so we're going to just move on.
I don't want to continue to talk trash, but the Ass Boys took on Darby and Sting.
We already talked about
that. No, we didn't. This match had a lot of run-ins. We had a lot of outside the box interference, which allowed for a victory by Sting and Darby, but this isn't going to end. This story's not going to end. Now, I said I don't necessarily or particularly care. I kind of care a little bit more after watching it, but what's the culmination of this? What comes out of Sting and Darby against the Ass Boys? A tag team title match? What comes after this? What's the post? Obviously, now you have Adam Cole and the Elite, the Super Click, against Orange Cassidy, I guess Wheeler Yuta, Chuck Taylor, that's kind of happening again.
Best
friends again against the Young Bucks. Interesting. You have other options, and we're kind of running back the same stories in the same year. So we'll see where this turns into. FTR, of course, feuding with the Lucha Brothers, but right now there's not much going on for the tag team title department, which really there hasn't been much going on in the tag team title department. Just give FTR the belts at this point. Not saying I don't like the Lucha Brothers, but I mean, who's better right now than FTR? Nobody. I mean, like, you know, FTR and Bucks, like I said last week. But this MJF CM Punk thing, I'm going to go back to that now. MJF took some low shots at Britt Baker, right? About CM Punk and Britt Baker. CM Punk, I just don't like it. I feel like MJF is just kind of lost.
This one fell flat for me.
It just feels like he's kind of lost. It doesn't make any sense at all as to why he would make a comment about Britt Baker in conjunction to CM Punk. Now, I understand that he's put her over. I mean, but everybody on the planet knows not only is he married, he's been married for quite some time, a great family, has his dog, has support, has all this. I mean, it's never been shied, hidden upon. It's never been this kind of, you don't know what his personal social life is like. This made no sense. This made no sense.
I get why he did it in reference to Punk putting her over, but yeah, like, it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And I thought about that, and I, again, with respect to it, I think it was a creative way that he wanted to kind of take some digs, take some shots, get a little offensive, kind of push the boundaries, which was what MJF kind of wants. But that just has no relevance. He's obsessed with calling him PG Punk. That it's just, I don't. And then CM Punk returns with a very nicely delivered part of promo. And there's just something about what MJF's doing right now where he's trying all these different things. He's going outside the box. He's getting offensive. He's trying to rub you the wrong way. Some of the stuff isn't making any sense. And this is kind of falling flat, and it's a big feud. It's a major feud because I think MJF, after this, is going to be going after Adam Page. It's very possible he goes over CM Punk, which wouldn't really make sense. But he might do it. And that's the kind of conversation I want to have. I want to talk about who goes over MJF or CM Punk. That's the type of matchups, Tony, I want to see on Wednesday nights. Now, I'm not saying it has to be every Wednesday night. But these are things that we can have these topics of conversation, right? These are things that we look forward to seeing. These are things that should be happening. Now, again, I don't want the formula of Raw where they have to wrestle six straight times and you go to pay-per-view.
No, I disagree. No. It's all about balance. You can't hit a home run week after week, but you also can't strike out.
No, you can. And there are things that WWE does that can work really well. And there's certain things where, you know, MJF, of course, he's got Wardlow. Maybe you get in a tag match and CM Punk and MJF can maybe, you know, even if you want to do it as a main event because you advertise it, CM Punk can try to find a tag team partner who likes CM Punk. CM Punk kind of walks alone.
No, great. That's a great idea.
So you have to pull Batista back. But that's
whoa.
Irrelevant. What?
Whoa.
I'm sorry. But CM Punk kind of walks alone. So you kind of have this narrative of CM Punk maybe trying to find a partner. Wardlow and MJF have kind of had this like little dissension. Maybe CM Punk can kind of acknowledge that a little bit, kind of hint into that. Maybe that Wardlow doesn't necessarily want to work with MJF.
Or
if you even wanted to continue that story, maybe Wardlow doesn't want to work with MJF, and he gets Sean Spears tag with him instead.
Or you don't even do a tag, and you have Punk versus Sean Spears, or Punk versus Wardlow. I know that's kind of rehashing the labors of Jericho, but at least you're playing on the realities of the faction.
But you only have to do it once.
Yeah.
You only have to have one match where he faces Sean Spears.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to do that.
No. I'm not saying rehash the whole
labors.
No,
I understand.
But
like, you know, if anybody's going to compare it to that, that would be, come on. Like, you know, if anyone's saying, hey, it's the same thing because he faced Sean Spears once, Sean Spears needs to work too, guys. Like,
yeah.
And then the story gets him involved. CM Punk gets to wrestle him. It's a good match on television. I mean, that's something that's more relevant than this.
Yeah.
I agree. I completely agree. You have another quarterfinal match, Ruby Soho versus Chris Statlander. This match was good.
Yeah, Chris Statlander looks fantastic.
She does. She's in great shape. She has come off the rehab from her knee. She looks excellent. She's been working out. I know that she posts a lot of pictures on Instagram, and she works out all the time. She's in great shape, real lean.
But it's great to see.
She's
like
working
she's
a lot quicker in the ring.
Yeah,
Ruby Soho looked great, of course, obviously. She's been very good. Crowd really wants Ruby Soho to win this whole tournament. I don't know who's going to win this tournament. I really don't. If Ruby Soho does win the tournament, I mean, hey, not the wrong choice.
I don't really think there is a wrong choice right now.
It was a major matchup between two major players in the women's division.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we need to see. And it was once a week. You got to milk this thing out for like 4 months because you had one major matchup a week and it mattered.
Yeah.
You could do that with anything. You could do that in a tag team tournament. You could do that with
I want another tag team tournament. We've said this for months.
You could do it with a tag team tournament, and each week you have a major matchup that almost main events, if not does main event. What's wrong with that? Instead, we're getting Bryan Danielson working against a bunch of jobbers, CM Punk working against a bunch of jobbers. Again, not jobbers, very talented wrestlers with just no story direction and for no purpose. At least I always feel, and I mean, over the past, besides the QT Marshall feud, and even with the QT Marshall feud, Cody tries to have a purpose with everything that he does. And right now, he had a match against Pac. It was a street fight. He lights this damn table on fire, melts his back.
Against Andrade.
Andrade. Did I call it Pac?
Yes.
I call him Pac, I'm sorry.
Yes.
I said the match was against Pac.
It's okay. So Cody versus Andrade, massive fire table spot.
So Cody, I thought he had, he obviously had some type of protective something on
we
his back.
We would throw out a tweet, which is just kind of ironic now.
Yeah.
Like, did he get sunburned?
Like, it looked like he got sunburned. Like,
and
his skin
peeling.
Was, like, peeling on his back. Exactly. So I was kind of thinking, like, did he get sunburned and he just, like, didn't put any aloe on? Like, this guy's got burned skin all over his back. But Cody comes into this match, obviously, after the Malakai Black, after the Pack. Pack is going to be subbing in because Ray Fenix was hurt, correct? Wasn't he in something?
Yes.
I don't know what that was about. I don't really remember, unfortunately, but he was subbing in, so Pac wasn't really involved. You have Cody. Brandy doesn't return, but Brandy shows up. She disguises herself. She lights the table on fire. She put a fuck ton of lighter fluid on that table.
Go big or go home. If you were taking a table spot like that, I'm dousing it in lighter fluid, and we are going to have...
I guess because it's on television.
A spectacle.
I was watching her do this. This was not... First of all, it has this plastic vinyl on top, right? So she starts pouring the liquid. I go, this is unreal. This is like,
this
is Dudley Boy level. Like, we are going to light this fucker up. She's got these two little Zippo cans, which I'm sure she had to try to get through security at the airport. I guess that's why she had two of them. Usually get the big, kind of like the big container. You just kind of, you know, quick couple squirts and you can light that fucker up. That thing's going to go. But that thing went and it didn't go out.
No, it didn't.
She fucking saturated that table. She saturates the table. Pac, sorry, I keep calling him Pac. Andrade decided, nope, business decision. I'm flipping out of this fucker. Cody just flat back, like non-athletic, bumps this thing with no shirt on and just sits in it.
A madman.
Are you out of your fucking mind? And that's one of those things where after he did it, he gets up and I go, that's something that I would do and the match would be over and I'd go, well, I'm not doing that again. But at least it's on film.
I thought of us, though, like, in that spot. Like, you would take the bump. I would douse the table because I'm like, fuck it, we're making this look good. This is going to be a moment. And then, yeah. Glad he's okay, though, right?
It's obviously, it's got some scars. He had a bunch of plastic vinyl on his back. Obviously, he beats Andrade with this move. Look, it was a great spot. It was an awesome spot. I remember, I'll go back a little bit here. Back in a couple of years ago, I had a match that used a flaming table. And throughout the match, the idea was that we're going to get to this table spot, and we were going to do a ladder powerbomb type of thing. We were fighting on this ladder, and I was going to come underneath, get him like in a power bomb. He's a bigger guy than me. I was just going to kind of toss him off the ladder, right? I wasn't doing a sunset flip because I was afraid I was going to hit the table. Flipping over and then kicking the table, I was afraid that was going to happen. So, because I was wearing boots because it was a street fight. It's a long story. You know, we were wearing the gimmick. We were kind of dressing the part. Because that was the big thing that I always say to you, right? I always felt like when you saw the guys having street fights, like they went to the pay-per-view. Remember, they went at Full Gear. They have a street fight, Jurassic Express versus the Young Bucks. And, like, Jurassic Express is, like, you know, Jungle Boy's wearing jeans.
Yeah.
And like, you wear your street fight attire, right?
Yeah.
So I was going into this war, so I had dressed up to go into this war, right? I had boots on. I had, like, cargo pants, and we were going to have this, like, fight, right? So I was afraid that flipping over the ladder, I would kick the table. The boots were so goddamn heavy. I was afraid I was going to clip him. It's very hard to wrestle in Timberland boots. I don't know. I mean, I thought it would be easier because I see a lot of people doing it. But it's like you don't have any control over your feet. They just clog around. You throw your feet, basically. You want to do a drop kick, you just throw your feet at somebody. So I come around the end. I put the lighter fluid on the table. And I light it up. We do a quick bump. Bam. Through the table. Roll off. Fire goes out. Worked perfectly. Finish the match, we all go home, right? I didn't take the bump. I put somebody through the table. And I saw this table going, and I remember my spot, and I thought to myself, man, that thing is ripping. Because when you get the flames going, you only have lighter fluid, right? You want to get through the table as quickly as possible. You don't want the fire to go out, God forbid. You don't want to be on television and have this fire go out. That's embarrassing.
Well, yeah, you're doing the spot. I mean, you want to make
it look good.
That
was so hot, it melted the plastic off the top of the table. It melted it to Cody's skin. I wonder if he's going to get permanently scarred from some of those spots.
Has he posted any pictures of, like,
I have no idea.
Burns?
I have no idea. Anybody else?
Marks?
Reference? Anybody at home, audience, fan participation, has he?
I've been, like, laying low on social media, Twitter,
yeah, I know.
Sort of,
I'm trying
so.
To... I was trying to communicate a little bit last week, but what I liked, what I didn't like. Obviously didn't watch Rampage. That's part of our protest. We'll see if something comes up that maybe makes us do it. Right now, I don't know what happened. Like I said, no one's talked about it. No one's discussed it. Clearly, nothing happened. But I'm wondering, because when I was a little kid, another story time, a couple stories today, I got burned. And when I got burned, the plastic got melted to my skin, left a big scar.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if that vinyl that was so hot...
Oh, good point.
...would leave a big chunk, big scar on the back of Cody like that. It was on his arms, it was on his back. So I am wondering, that was an interesting spot. Has there ever been a spot, a table spot like that, where he just goes down and just flat bumps and sits in it?
I mean, obviously...
It's memorable enough.
There's a lot of risks that come with fire, but I feel like I haven't seen a lot of flaming spots in my wrestling career, my wrestling life. So, I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Like you said, it's memorable.
Yeah, I mean, typically whenever you take a spot, or typically whenever you would do that, you would try to get out of the fire as quickly as possible. So, you know, you just kind of bump and you kind of roll off. You know, you kind of get out of the... And I felt like maybe, again, when you're in the moment, sometimes time feels like it goes a lot longer than it does.
Yeah.
You know, like the moments kind of...
Oh, for sure.
You know, it feels like an hour when it's only been a minute.
Yeah.
And I wonder if I watched it back, how long Cody sat in it. But I felt like when he back bumped, he just sat on it. Like, I just felt like he didn't move very quickly to get away from the fire.
We're also, like, enamored by... the spot, and the fire didn't go out, so it's like, oh my god, you're just sitting there watching him laying.
Sure. That, so I, you know, my brain is like, yeah. This guy sat here for like 5 minutes. That's not how long he sat
there
for. But I just wonder if he immediately didn't bounce up. It wasn't like he got off of it. So I just, it's crazy. We're sitting here talking about it for 5 minutes, 10 minutes of us discussing.
But that was
it was a big moment of the night.
Most memorable moment of the night, main event. I mean, that's how you do it. That was good.
People try to you know, replicate certain things. It was always, you know, person who's taking these bumps in WWE, whatever, usually get a shirt on. You have something to kind of cover your skin. Cody wanted to kind of push that narrative. He's always a guy that pushes that narrative. You know, kudos to him. I mean, look, he wants a pat in the back. I'll give him a pat in the back. It was a great spot. I'll give him a pat in the back.
He did it.
It was a thing that engaged us this week. Now, what comes of this Andrade-Cody movement forward? Probably nothing. It's got to be over, right?
I don't know.
You can't do a flaming table spot and not conclude the feud.
I mean,
unless Andrade's like, hey, you know, our next match is going to be a wrestling match and I'm going to out-wrestle you. But you have Malakai Black and Pac, which are still sort of involved in this. This just kind of seems muddied because, again, I know that Pac has had a difficult time over the past couple of months of being able to get to the Dynamites. We know he's missed a couple of shows. I don't know if he had a COVID scare or not. I don't know the actual truth about it, but I know that he missed a couple of shows. So, you know, it does get difficult to kind of have these things and maybe something else has come up. I don't know. But we'll see what happens with Andrade going forward. Obviously, you know, yeah, the TNT title could be something for him. If it's engaging, Sammy Guevara versus Andrade could be something very entertaining. Sammy's just kind of wrestled a bunch of one-offs. It kind of feels like Sammy's run right now is a bunch of guys who he's going to go over, and we're going to keep kind of building, kind of like the Cody way, where it was like, hey, you know, you knew Cody wasn't going to lose to all these guys who really weren't full-time in the company. Obviously, Tony Nese, I believe, is facing him next. Or did he wrestle him? Maybe he wrestled him. Maybe that was what happened on Rampage. Tony Nese is supposed to face Sammy Guevara.
That may have been on Rampage.
See, again, we don't know. Nobody's talking about it, though. I'm not seeing anything about it, so I don't know. I don't know. I do know that Dynamite, I believe I saw the statistic that the Dynamite DVRs, the Rampage DVRs are enormous, the figures. The DVR figures are enormous in comparison to, like, the Monday Night Raws. I'm pretty confident that I saw something like that, which is just showing that people are caring, but... are they tuning in when it's happening? Obviously, the West Coast feed's happening at 5 o'clock still, I believe, until TBS.
Oh, is that?
I believe.
Okay. Yeah.
So at 5 o'clock, that's impossible.
Oh, yeah.
It's impossible.
That's really tough.
What was impossible, I remember watching like a Monday Night Football game was impossible. 5:30. I would like speed home, especially on a Thursday. I used to do these games on Thursday at like 8 p.m. I'd have to speed home.
From school?
From Vegas. Yeah. When I was in Vegas, I was at school. because your class would end at, you know, 4:30 or whatever, and then you lose traffic, of course. Vegas traffic sucks. And I would just kind of, like, floor it. I got to stop, I got to get something to eat, and I got to get home and watch the football game. They always used to do a show, you know, if it was Monday Night Raw, it would always kind of be at the, it would have to be at the 8 o'clock. You just have to avoid the spoilers. But that used to be one of those things, too, where you didn't really want to watch Raw, so you'd kind of get your friend from back home. You kind of be like, hey, do I need to watch it this week? I'd rather watch the football game. And it's kind of like with these Dynamites, I don't want to say that I'm going to put words in my mouth here, but with these Dynamites, it feels like, A, did I miss anything? Do I got to watch it this week, or can I do something else? And I don't want it to feel that way, because Rampage, I don't even think about. Like this Friday, you know, obviously we had time to watch the Rampage. We did. We thought about the Rampage. We said, nope, we're not going to watch it. It was our choice. We're not going to watch it. The Dynamite was kind of like, all right, it's Wednesday. I got to watch the Dynamite. Show's coming up. Got to get set up for it. I had some stuff going on. But we did watch it, of course. But it kind of felt more like a chore. Like now I had to stop doing what I was doing to watch it. And I don't want it to feel that way.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we were talking about how difficult it was going to be, you know, regarding New Japan getting people coming in. I know that Japan was questioning maybe the borders.
I was just going to talk about the fact that they're in the middle of the World Tag League.
I know. It's just right now has been difficult. And we want to deliver content. We want to continue to deliver content. But it's difficult because obviously, school was all out of control, but, you know, New Japan is so divided right now. New Japan is so divided. AEW doesn't feel like anything's happening at all. WWE is dead.
I don't...
That's what I mean. It's dead. It's irrelevant. It's dead. I do not know what the fuck is going on that show whatsoever.
Couldn't tell you. Couldn't tell you a single champion. Couldn't tell you a single story. I know... absolutely nothing.
They keep firing people, though.
I do know that. That's like the one thing I see. They keep firing people. Which is awful, but
Ring of Honor closed. Terrible. GCW got a bunch of those guys. The AAA title went to El Hijo.
I was in the middle of the wine and the gingerbread.
The Eye of the Viking? Is that what it was? Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. My rudimentary knowledge of Spanish, I hope I didn't offend anybody. It's Vikingo or something. I don't know. But Jay Lethal was in that tournament or that match. Bobby Fish was there.
Yep.
They had a ton of people there.
I do remember that.
That show was good. Willie Mack was on the show. The show was good.
I wonder if
Brian Cage will be back.
That was entertaining.
That's something that was engaging, exactly.
But GCW, I'm just going back to that. I mean, that's the one thing that's been super engaging recently. And I think in part it is because it's new to us. We've gone to a handful of shows over the past few months, and each one has been special and extremely entertaining and just indescribable. I mean, I've had a blast at the past GCW shows, some of the most fun I've had at any wrestling shows I've ever gone to. But I also think the fact that they run shows a couple times a month, you know, there's no weekly television. You get these big pay-per-view events one or two times a month, sometimes a little bit more depending. For me right now, I think that's helping because trying to balance everything with work and with you in school, like I feel I'm exhausted and I'm burnt out. And it's like, I can just wind down. I get excited for GCW and, you know, once or twice
a
month.
Yeah, it's late on a Saturday night and you could just put it on television.
Just relax.
And just watch.
And have a good time.
It. There's no pressure. And I think that I just wish, this is a question I guess I pose for everybody. This is something that I would like feedback on. It's difficult, I know, to get feedback. Maybe we could post a question, Ash, about this on Dojo and Dynamite on the Twitter page.
Sure.
Do you feel that when a show goes to television, of course they gain more responsibility? But why does the perception change of what an organization needs to do to maintain audience, to do certain things on TV? Why, when they go to television like AEW, does this change?
That's what I was saying at the very beginning of this
Like, why does this change? Why does our perception of this change? I am going to say my opinion of it is because when you sign all these talents, you expect them to be utilized in the manner that we are familiar with. WWE wrote the script. They created the game of what today's wrestling is. Right? And it doesn't matter. Everybody, you know, people come out here and tell you that, you know, wrestling was created by, I know, I understand. Wrestling today, the modern era wrestling fan.
Modern American wrestling.
Modern American wrestling fan. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Because we'll go back, okay? We'll go all the way back. I was 10 years old. 10 years old. When that video that I watched with Stephanie McMahon and Eric Bischoff with the Scott Steiner thing, I told you that kind of captured my attention. I was 10 years old when that happened. Okay? So my entire life has been watching, and then you go back, you watch WCW, has been watching these big stars colliding with one another consistently every week, watching the biggest and best going at it.
Sure. It's like a soap opera.
Now, I understand in the territory times, which again was a live show, not a televised show, was a live event, kind of like GCW is, right?
Mm-hmm.
They show the pay-per-views on Fight TV, but it's a live event. You go to the show. They say, hey, John Moxley's going to be here. We go.
It's about the in-venue experience.
And when AEW comes to your location, I feel that way, though. When AEW comes to my location, I would like to go see them. Hey, Chris Jericho is going to be at Prudential Center, TBS opening day. I'll go see Chris Jericho. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I go to see it, but I don't have to watch it. And that's what I'm asking. Why does this change so drastically? And I'm going to put it up, like I said, I think when you sign all these talents and you have all these wrestlers and they're not facing each other and they're not having matches that matter and they're not having feuds, you can have low-level feuds. You don't have to have matches that open the show, Bryan Danielson versus Allen Angels.
This would have been very interesting to discuss in our history of television class. Because I wonder if it's the expectation of, like, now I'm watching a TV show, you need to advance the narrative.
Yeah, I mean, that's a possibility.
I wrote a paper on the sex appeal of Randy Orton in that class.
Yeah, well, you did.
What did you write about?
Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair.
He was a wrestling fan.
He was a wrestling fan.
He showed Razor Ramon.
He gave me a fucking B.
I got an A.
Fuck that guy. If you listen to this podcast, he was an adjunct from Northwestern. He's a wrestling fan. Taught
we
a
watched,
class at DePaul University.
We watched wrestling in that class.
We watched wrestling in that class.
Yeah.
You gave me a fucking B.
That was the first time I had ever seen Razor Ramon, like, in those clips. Nice.
That's right.
Yeah. But no, I think that would have been an interesting thing to write a research paper on. Because I wonder if it's that level of expectation.
I wrote about how, I'm remembering it now, it was Great American Bash, but it was a steel cage match between Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes. I believe Dusty won the belt. I'm trying to think if this is what it was. And I talked about how it mattered. He gave me a fucking B.
Randy Orton.
I'm a little sour about that. So on that note, though, guys, I want to know, does the expectation change? You're right, Ashley. Does the anticipation expectation change? In the history of television and radio, that was the name of the course, history of television and radio.
Yeah.
Does the now, I guess they're serials, right? Is this considered a serial? Episodic? I don't know what the serial.
Raw. So, Raw is what? The longest episodic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if this is considered a weekly episodic television series, which it is, serial, right? And you are not continuing the narrative, and you're kind of giving us, well, I mean, it doesn't, I guess it's all relevant. It's not about, I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
I'm, like, excited now and wish that I was back in school so I could, I'm going to go get my doctorate.
And discuss and pick apart why AEW in the television medium has changed the perception of what it was 2 years ago. Maybe it's because, again, they're still giving you the same stuff they did 2 years ago when you signed all those people. That was what my opinion was. You sign so many people, and we don't feel like they're getting utilized enough, and we're not seeing them. That's what I feel. They're not being involved. That's just what I feel.
I'm trying to analyze the expectation difference of, like, televised wrestling and indie wrestling. That's what I keep going back to.
So you guys let us know. This is something that we would like to dissect. We can bring this up next week. We'll talk about it next weekend. We'll talk about what AEW does this Wednesday, which is Winter is Coming. No, it's not. That's next weekend.
No, that's next week. Yep.
It's next week. I'm sorry. I jumped ahead. We'll talk about what happened with AEW this week. We'll then predict or project what's going to happen. Winter is Coming, Hangman versus Danielson. And maybe if we get some responses from you guys regarding what you think, why this changed of the anticipation of when a show goes to television, why this changes, you let me know.
It's a big show, though. Winter is Coming 2020 is when...
And we'll dissect all of that and we'll see...
Omega 1.
What happens. Again, yes, correct.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens at Winter is Coming, so...
On that note, I'm getting excited.
Yeah. And with that...
thank you guys so much for listening, as always. Hope you're doing well, staying safe, and enjoying this lovely holiday season. We are at Dojo and Dynamite on Twitter, at Dojo and Dynamite on Instagram, dojoanddynamite@gmail.com, and we will be back later this week, later next week, sometime in the near future, with another episode. Thanks, guys.